I'd like to thank Rabbi Blazer and the entire North Miami Beach Kollel for inviting me here. Today's topic is going to be a geshmaka topic, and it's actually very negeya, especially in such a city as North Miami, where we're growing. There's constant growth. I come back year after year, and there's more and more. I know more from people. I remember this type of situation when we had Lakewood. This is going back 30 years ago, so you're like a generation behind maybe, but this is how it is. It's going to vax and vax and vax in Yad Hashem. So I want to start off with a story. The story is as follows. It's a true story. It happened 500 years ago. Maharam Padova, he was one of the Gedolim that lived at the time of the Ramah. He decided to embark on a mission to reprint the Rambam. What we have today, the Yad HaChazaka, the Rambam, he decided he's going to reprint the Rambam. Make it nice. And in fact, Ad HaYoyim in our Rambams, sometimes you'll find in the bottom of a Kesem Mishnah and bottom of a Mamagid Mishnah, a small Ha'ara, and that Ha'ara that's in the margin is from the Maram Padova. It was his Ha'aris. He hooked up with a certain publishing press, and together they went to undertake this daunting task. It was very expensive. Printing in those days was exorbitant. It was very expensive, and he undertook to print this Rambam, with the hope that Yad Hashem, when he sells out the Svarim, will be able to repay all the halvois that he took to print this Rambam. At the same time, there was another publishing press, a famous publishing press, Marco Antiano, who was very insulted that the Maram Padova didn't use him to partner with him to print the Rambam. He used his competition. And this guy decided that he's going to teach Maram Padova a lesson. And what he's going to do is he's also going to reprint the Rambam. And Kachava, the same year that Maram Padova printed the Rambam, about a half a year later, this other publishing press decided to print the Rambam. And he decided that for whatever price Maram Padova is going to sell the Rambam for, he's going to sell the Rambam for a gulden less. A gulden was a Polish coin at that time. It was a golden coin. He's going to sell the Rambam for a gulden less. So if Maram Padova is going to sell the Rambam for 20 gulden, he's going to sell it for 19. And Maram Padova decides for 15, he's going to sell for 14. He's going to undercut Maram Padova in a way that will put Maram Padova out of business. No one would want to buy the Rambams from Maram Padova, and basically he'll go under. He'll go bankrupt because he borrowed a lot to make this happen, and now he won't be able to pay back. And now became the Shaila for the Hamayinam. What do we do? Here we have, we go to the Svarim store. We have two Rambams for sale. One is by Maram Padova, and one is by this guy. And Maram Padova's Rambam is more expensive. Do I spend that extra money? Do I spend the extra gulden to buy Maram Padova's Rambam? Or do I buy the Goyish Rambam? It's cheaper. And this Shaila was sent to the Ramah. We have it. You can look it up. It's in Chuvis Ramah Simin Yud. So over there, the Ramah has a fascinating tshuva. He has four different reasons why one must buy Maram Padova's Rambam and not the Goyish Rambam. Thank you. Good?
Better.
Hope so. Yeah.
Oh, we hear you now.
Okay. So till now, I was talking to myself.
No, you're talking to a chef.
Okay. So, the Chuvis Ramah has four different reasons why one should patronize Maram Padova's Rambam and not the Goyish Rambam. And we're going to focus today on one of the four reasons. And he opens up the whole sugya. He says the following. There's a pasuk in the Torah, it's actually a sefra he quotes, that darshan's the pasuk. It says, "V'chisimku mimkalam misecha, oikonu miyadam misecha, al toinu ish esochav." It's a pasuk in Bahar. So, the pshat in the pasuk is referring to aina. When you sell or you buy, al toinu ish esochav. Don't overcharge and don't underpay when you're dealing with another yid. But the Sifra darshan's the pasuk differently. And the Sifra Darshan Pasuk as follows. V'chisimkuru mimkar, when you're holding by selling an item, lamisecha, make sure to sell it to a yid. Oy konoy, if you're holding by buying an item, miyada misecha, make sure you buy it by a yid. So the Sifra is learning out from a Pasuk that there's an obligation for every yid when he enters and he goes into commerce. If he wants to engage in any type of commerce, that is, buying and selling, he should buy by a yid or sell to a yid. If he's renting, he should rent from a yid or rent to a yid. Renting tables, renting metaltalin, renting cars, renting houses. Whatever he might be doing, he should engage in business with another yid. If he's hiring, and he has the choice of hiring a Yiddish employee or a Goyish employee, he should hire a Yiddish employee. Whatever he's doing, Mekuch u'memkar, it should be limited to Yidden. If you have a choice between a Yid and a Goy, you should engage in business with a Yid. The Ramah then takes the Sifra one step further. And Ramah says like this, why do I need a Pasuk to teach us this? It's Pashit. It's Pashit. Of course, if you have a choice of patronizing a yid over a guy, of course you're supposed to patronize a yid. The Gemara even learns out, watch this, Rabbi say, the Gemara learns out, if you have a nevela, that's treif, and you can't eat it, and you have a choice to give it away, to gift it to a ger toishav, that's a guy who keeps mitzvahs, or to sell it to a guy, where you could make some money, but you have a choice of either gifting it to a ger toishav or selling it to a guy, the Gemara says it's a svara pshuta that of course you have to gift it to a ger toishav. Because for a ger toishav you have a mitzvah of echzakta boy, and for a guy not. And part of echzakta boy, part of supporting, part of helping out a ger toishav is such a thing. You gift him items if you have a choice. You don't need it yourself, so you gift it to the ger toishev rather than selling it to a goy. So the Ramah says if it's said by a ger toishev, all the more so by a yid. If you have a choice of supporting a yid or supporting a goy, it's pashit that you support a yid. So why do I need a pasuk of v'chisimkar mimka lamisecha mochar? What do I need that pasuk for? To which the Ramah deduces from here that the drasha is going on not when the price is equal. The drasha is going on even if the goy is cheaper, still you're supposed to buy by a yid rather than buy by a goy. Oikonoi miyara misecha, even if you could get it cheaper by a goy. And same thing with chisimkur mimka. If you're selling and you could make more money if you sell it to a goy, still you're supposed to sell it to a yid. And that, on the basis of this halacha, the Ramah Paskin, that therefore one has to patronize the Maram Padova and buy his Rambam, even though it's more expensive, it's a golden more, because it's a mitzvah in the Torah of a chisimkar mimkala misecha, oikana miyada misecha. And what the Ramah does to this drasha of the Sifra, to say it's talking about when the price is different, when the goy is cheaper, and still I have to buy by a yid, it's actually a tashbatz. The tashbatz in Chele Gimel, if he does the exact same thing. He brings down the Sefra and he says, what's the pasuk talking about? It's pashit. It's a svara. What do I need a pasuk for? It must be somewhere where there's a discrepancy in price and still I have to patronize the yid over a goy. Once we're on this halacha, I want to share with you a fascinating Maram Shik, how he teaches a pasuk. Maram Shik is bothered by, if the Torah wanted to teach us this lesson, that you're supposed to engage in business with another yid over a goy, why did the Torah choose to park this halacha right over here in the parsha of Aino? The Torah could have put it anywhere, from Bereishis to Vazeis Abracha. Punk, this pasuk that's referring to Ana, that's where the Torah plugs in this mitzvah to patronize a Yid. Zakta Maram Sheikh is because the Torah is teaching us this halach of the Ramah. You would think that since Altoinu Ish Esachav, you're now allowed to overcharge a Yid, and a Goy I am allowed to overcharge. So you would think that's a reason why you're allowed to sell to a Goy because you can make more money from a Goy. Still, the Torah is telling you no. Even though Altoinu Ish Esachav, even though for a goy, you're not limited to the hilchos ana, you don't have to stick to market price, you could underpay, you could overcharge, still, you have to buy and sell from a yid. So, Rabbi, I'm sure a lot of you are starting to rethink, what am I doing? Like, a lot of our purchases and a lot of our commerce engages with goyim. So I want to share with you now a half a dozen or more heterim, coolest on this, exceptions to this rule. And then you're going to be deciding for yourself, wherever you shop, by Amazon, Walmart, wherever you shop, do you have any of the heterim or not? If you have them, great. If you don't, then you're really supposed to be patronizing a yid. And we'll go through one by one. The first kula is, the Pesach can bring down, that if it's a hefsid meruba, the Ramah was talking about where there's a discrepancy, a gulden off, a small discrepancy, it's a hefsid mu'at. But it will be a large discrepancy, a hefsid meruba, if it's something like that, where it's a significant loss, then that gives me a license to shop by a yid over a... That gives me a license to shop by a goy over a yid. It has to be a hefsid meruba. What is a hefsid meruba? That, unfortunately, is not so clear in the Paiskim. The Paiskim discuss, at the end of the day, it's based on the item, the value of the item, and the person's station in life, how much he could afford. For some people, a small discrepancy is meaningful. For other people, it's not. So depending how wealthy you are, how comfortable you are, and how much the item costs. For example, if I tell you, I'm going to sell you this, I have a choice to buy this for $40 or $50, it's $10 off, you know, that's a lot, that's 20%. That might be considered a hefsid meruba, maybe, maybe not, I don't know. But if I tell you I'm buying a house and the house costs $700,000 or $695,000 and it's $5,000, but I think we could all appreciate that in the big scheme of things, $5,000 in a $700,000 purchase is like insignificant. So it based on the item, what percentage of that item it costs, and also on how much you could afford. If you could afford it, then to reach a hefsid meruba, you need to have a higher threshold. If you can't afford it, then it's a lower threshold. So I know I'm not giving you a clear hagdara, but I don't have one. That's what the Pesachim have. The Pesachim just discussed. There's one Pesach who wants to discuss, maybe it's a sixth off in price, but others disprove that. So basically, we're talking about a hefsid meruba. If it's a hefsid meruba, then you're good to go. Okay, that's the first heter. And we could discuss how to don a hefsid meruba. A hefsid meruba, you know, do you go by a one purchase? Or what happens if every single week I make a shopping? So do I count, well, this week's shopping is only $3 off. But I do this for the entire year. I do this 50 times a year, over a year, and it's $150 off. It adds up. Maybe that's a hefsid meruba. And that's also not so clear in the Pesachim. Let's talk about another kula. Another kula is that this only works if the yid is giving you fair market value. So for example, the yid is willing to sell to you for fair market value. That's what a grocery store sells it for. But you can go to ShopRite. You can go somewhere else. You can go online and get it cheaper. Or you can go to a geisha store and there's a sale going on and therefore it's cheaper. But what the yid is selling for is a real price. It's a valid price. So then I have to patronize the yid. But what happens if the yid is overcharging? to begin with, he's not within the market price. He's overcharging. And if he's overcharging, then I don't have to reckon with him. I only have to reckon with a yid if he's giving me fair market value. If he gives me fair market value, so I patronize him over a guy. But if he's not giving me fair market value, then I don't have to patronize him. Correct. It means even if, correct. As long as he's above market value, then I don't have to patronize him.
How does one determine
market value? Yeah, okay, so that's a whole different share, but we'll just give you like, quick, is that basically you have to take three stores, three comparable stores, means three groceries, and then take the middle price. Love Dafka is the average, but the middle price. It means if one sells it for 10, one sells it for 11, one sells it for 13, so the fair market value is 11. It's a machlokes, some hold other. Correct. It's 11. And Memeila, according to Rambam, it's actually 11.5. I don't want to go, like I said, it's a whole sugi. But let's just say you take the middle, that's how the Rashbam goes, you take the middle price. So as long as he's within that, he's in the middle area, so then that's considered fair market value. The fact that you can get it cheaper somewhere doesn't make him overcharge. He's not overcharged. He's in fair market value. That too happens to be cheaper. But as long as he's fair market value, then I'm supposed to patronize him. If not, I don't have to patronize him. The case of the Maran Padva with the Rambam, he was giving fair market value. The fact that the guy was going cheaper doesn't make Maran Padva overpriced. He's giving the right price for the Rambam. That's what, of course. It's just his competition wanted to put Maran Padva out of business, so he decided they're going to sell it for a gulden less. But that doesn't make Maran Padva above market value. That is the market value. And what you also see in the Ramah is a gulden is still considered a hefsin mu'it. Being off by one gold coin, that's the hefsin mu'it. It doesn't tell you how much the Ramahs were going for, but I did look up and see what the value of a gulden is based on weight and what are we today. It would be approximately like $40 to $50 today. But again, it's hard to really compare apples to apples. I don't know what they were selling in those days apples for. I don't know what money commanded in those days. I could just tell you that gulden today would be worth about $40 to $50. And that's still considered a hefsin mu'it. But maybe the Ramans were $500 or $1,000. And then let's consider a hefsin mu'it. I don't know. Okay, so that's the second heter. The heter is that the yid has to be fair market value. A third heter is, and that is, if you're an ani, if you can't afford it, bachal, not because, like I said before, have some mu, but stam, a person who's an ani, who's potter from mitzvah tzedakah, he only has to do the basic mitzvah tzedakah, a shlishas hashekel l'chol shana, but if he's an ani and he can't afford to give ma'isa, he can't afford to give a normal amount of tzedakah, let's say he's a chayvis, he owes money to people. So he's not mechuyv in tzedakah, because I gavna, he's not mechuyv in this mitzvah either. Because this whole inyan is based on the concept of echzakta boy. We're supposed to support another yid, which is a derivative of hilchas tzedakah. Means even if the store owner is fabulously wealthy, I still have to patronize him because it's still a form of tzedakah that I'm helping out another yid. Like a chesed, I could do chesed with someone who's wealthy too. But if the buyer is poor and he doesn't have the mitzvah of tzedakah, he's in debt, then he doesn't have to patronize the yid over the guy. Because if he's potter from tzedakah, he'll be potter from this inyan as well. I want to share with you another heter, and that is if it's something unique that you cannot get by the yid. It has to be something unique. And we could talk about different unique items, but let's just see where it's coming from. Watch this. The Balaturim on Chumash, I don't know if anyone read the Balaturim on Chumash, but it's a fascinating sefer. He did this without a computer, pre-computer age. He had a phenomenal memory of the entire Tanakh. And anytime there was a word in the Torah, he would be able to tell you where else we find that exact word in the entire Tanakh. That's one. And then he would say that he came up with a theory And he plugs it in time and time again, thousands of places across the Torah, that if you find the word here and you find the word somewhere else, must be there's a connection in concepts. And the Torah is teaching you something by using that word. It employed that word, bedafka, to teach you another knach, another halacha. And watch what the Baal Turim does. He says like this. It says in the pasuk, v'kisim kur mimkala mesecha, oy konoi miyara mesecha. It's an unusual word. Konoi, kuf nun hei. Konoi miyara mesecha. He says you find it one other place in the entire Tanakh, the word konoi. And that is by David HaMelech, when he was looking to buy a parcel of land to build the Beis HaMikdash, he bought it from Arayna Hayavusi. He bought it from a goy, Arayna. It's a goyrin, it was a granary, it was a parcel of land, it was Harabayis, and that's what he bought to build the Beis HaMikdash on. So Zokta Baal HaTurim, notice, the word here, Kanoi, and the word there, Kanoi. What's the Torah teaching us? Is that there's obvious kasha. David HaMelech is looking to build a base of Mikdash, and he buys a piece of land from a goy.
Right.
He buys it from a goy? Should buy it from a yid. Buy a land from a yid and build a base of Mikdash by the yid. Why is he buying it by a goy? Why is he buying it off of Reina Yavusi for? And of course we know that Harabayis is auspicious, it's Mamisha Mokum Masugal for the base of Mikdash. I got it, and the Medrashim talk about it, all the different mitzvahs that happen in Har HaBayis. But the Kadosh Baruch Hu could be Masha Hishchina anywhere, like he did in Shiloh, Noi Vegiva in Gilgal. So why did he buy this piece of land from Arayna Yavusi? He should have bought it somewhere else. To which the Baal HaTurim deduces from here that if it's something unique and something special, and you can't get that benefit anywhere else. It's true, I can get another piece of land, but not this land where there was an Akedah Yitzchak, not this land which had the Medrashim say other stories. So therefore, David HaMelech had a right to buy the land from Arayna Yavusi. It was something unique, something special, that he couldn't get elsewhere, and therefore he's not limited to this halacha of the Ikonoi Miyana Mesecha. If you have a professional that you want to hire and that he is unique, you need a special accountant and he is unique, so then in Konami you would be allowed to hire him over the next person. However, if you could find such a competent accountant who is a yid, then you don't have that hetter. Or if you don't really need him and it's just like only like a side benefit, so then you're not going to have the head. It has to be that you need it. It's special for you that you need him. Let's talk about a simple example. I could buy an item by a Goyisha store and it comes with a warranty. And I could buy by a Yid without a warranty. So how much is a warranty worth? This perk of having a warranty, how much is the warranty worth? How much would you pay for that warranty? If you'd only pay a few dollars for that warranty, if it would be offered to you by a Yid, how much would you add to the purchase price to buy that warranty? If you're only willing to add a small amount of money, so then that's like a hefsin mu'it. You won't have the heta. If it's you would pay a lot of money, it's like a hefsin meruba, so then you have a right to buy by a goy over the yid. If it's something so unique, that warranty, that you need it, you can't sleep at night without it, your level of bitachon right now is that you don't rely on Hashem that your item's not going to break, and you need to have that guarantee, that's warranty. So if that's the case, if you need that, and so it's something unique for you, you need it, so then if the yid doesn't provide it, I got it. So then you would have that heter. But that's subjective. Every person has to decide for himself, or maybe discuss it with his rav. But it's totally on every single person where he's holding in life.
Is there a chrayas to go back to the yid and say, listen, the other place is giving me a warranty, you give me the same warranty, I'll buy it from you?
So I don't know if you have that achrayis to do, but of course if you do it and you could offer, usual warranties is not so negeh, but let's talk about a different thing, a 30-day money-back guarantee, right? So it's something like that. In a climate, go back to the inn and say, if you give me a 30-day money-back guarantee.
But if it's a warranty that if anything happens to this device, a phone, for a year, no matter what it is, I'll replace it and the yid doesn't offer it, the price of the phone is really the price of that warranty.
So how much would you pay extra for that warranty?
How much would you pay extra?
The yid would tell you, okay, I'll give you that warranty, but I'm going to charge you $10 for it.
So
you're buying it?
So Apple charges $20.
One second, what is that? If the Yid will tell you, fine, I'll give you that warranty, but I'm going to tag on $10 to the bill. Are you paying it?
Depending on the price of the thing.
Okay, very good. So that's why you could get how much you'd be willing to pay for it. We'll get indicative of how important it is, and if it's a have some Ruba, have some wood.
There's a market for the warranty. If you buy an Apple phone or a new phone, the warranty is $249.
Okay.
That's a lot of money.
Okay, that's because it's that those type of phones may be more expensive and more vulnerable to break.
All the phones you want to buy today, except for the flip phone, are going for $1,000.
Okay, very good. All right.
One is option of financing, one doesn't. The good is option of financing.
It goes back to the same thing. We might have another hit on that soon, but it's the same idea. How much is that Milo worth to you, and is that Efsamura, Efsamuruba? But if you need it because you can't afford it without the financing, so then it's something unique that you could go here and not go elsewhere.
If I'm in the market to buy a warranty and he's not selling it, so what does it make a difference if I need it? If I want to buy an apple and the Jew is selling bananas, so how much would I pay to get the banana to switch an apple? It's irrelevant. I'm not looking for bananas. I'm trying to buy an apple.
Well, depending how important it is, you know, because if you... It's the same item. It just has another perk, another benefit to it, right? Let's say they both sell an MP3 player. Okay, they both sell MP3, Sony MP3 player, both sell it. Good. Just the model that the Yid has doesn't have the choices for you. And the model that the guy has does. You know what I mean? Like, depending how much, each one could have like a good. This has only 264 memory, and this one has 528 memory. So the question is how important that is to you? If it's important, if you need it, and a Konami, then you can't get it elsewhere. And that makes it miyuchid and economic. If it's important to you, again, for the next person, it might not be important to him, just because it's, okay, so it has a little mila. How much I pay for that mila? Not too much, because I don't really need it. But if you need it...
If I want to buy the product, if I want to buy the Chazer Tosis product, I can't by buying from the guy.
So if you want that feature, then in economy, that's miyuchid. Wait a minute. So you want it because it's something that you will enjoy and it's important to you, so then that gives you the right to buy it there. I'll give you another case. I'm going to give you two more cases. Hopefully we'll get a better understanding. The story was like this. It happened 100 years ago. They were building a beautiful shul and they had a choice of hiring... I know that Kyla is now building a building, but they had a choice of hiring a Yiddish contractor or a Goyish contractor. And if they hire a Yiddish contractor, he'll make a beautiful shul. But, you know, he doesn't have, like, you know, the glamorous shul that a guy can make with the arches and all the moldings and everything like that. You hire an Italian contractor who'll be able to make, like, a spitz shul. Spitz. So the shaila was, it went to the gedolim of the time, should they use the Yid or should they use the guy? The guy is going to make a nicer shul. It's going to be more kvod shemayim. It's going to be make a nicer shul. So do they use a Yiddish shul or do they use a Goyish shul? Do they make a Yid who builds the shul or do they have a Goy who builds the shul? That was the shaila. And this shaila went to the Stei Chemed. And the Stei Chemed, he held that you should use the Yiddish contractor, even though it's not going to be as nice. And his Lashon is, because in lo yeh binyan mehudah kol kach lamata, if it's not going to be so nice down here, still, Yimuda, Eitzel, Noisin, HaTorah, Asher, Zeran, Ozer. It will be nice if the Rebbein Shalom, because he gave a mitzvah in the Torah of Exacta Boy, they should use a Yiddish work over a guy. It's going to be a nicer shul to using the Yiddish contractor. That's what this take. Sorry? Yeah. We're going to... Oh, so this is what the Stei Chemed held. However, other Gedolim on the time disagreed with the Stei Chemed and allowed to build with a Goyish contractor. So I believe that the other Paiskim would be correct, and the reason is because if you need that beautiful shul, if you will enjoy it, you want it, and the Yid can't provide such a shul, so then you have a right to use a Goyish contractor to build such a shul, because it's going to be a nicer shul. If you don't need it, it's just like something extra. Okay, so then we get done. Is it have some wood? Have some ruba? How important it is? How much will you pay for it? But if it's something that you need, you want to have that nicer shul, you need it to attract people for coming, So then it's a nicer product that you can't get by yet, so that will give you a hat on.
It's like a unique.
Correct. It's a unique item that you can't get. Just like David HaMelech bought the parcel of land from Arayna Yevusi because it was something unique, so too, having such a shul might be unique. So it might work.
Are these types of uniqueness, how do we classify them? Like one is more gashmis and one is more ruchnias? Like, is that a way you can do it?
No, even the Steh Chemed was saying because the Rebbeinu Shalom wants you to use a yid, so that makes it more special. But if he would also agree that if you don't have the chiv to use a yid, then maybe you're allowed to use the goy.
But the Steh Chemed, the product he wanted was something that was nice and beautiful, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's saying that this would be nicer and more beautiful. So
yeah, but why is it more beautiful? Because he said Asher Hizirano is there, because the Torah is mitzavos to use a yid. But if the Torah wasn't mitzavos to use a yid, because I want that more beautiful shul, so then, on the contrary, so then I have a right to use the goy, and I'm making Zekei Levan Vey, I'm making a nicer shul. It depends. First, you have to know what step one is. Step one is what the Torah mechayiv me to use the yid or not. If it is, then it's going to be nicer to the Rebbeinu Shalom if I use the yid, even though you think it's not nicer. But if I have a right to use the goy, so then the goy shul is going to be nicer. It's they haven't held that he's supposed to use the yid anyway, and could be because he held that the extra mile of having a more beautiful shul is not important. Whereas the other poskim held that it is important, and the male, if it is important, then you should, you know, probably depended on the culture, the different places that they went, how important it is to have that nicer shul, right? I mean, we're used to having not so beautiful, ornate shuls. We have, you know, nice shuls and it works, and Baruch Hashem, how much Torah came out of this base medrash, even though probably, I'm not Kulila, it's a beautiful base medrash, but I've seen more nice about the medrash, right? So it's like, that's how it is. You don't need it, but for some people, they need it. That's the bottom line. I know when we built our shul, my shul, it's a gorgeous shul. So I remember someone, a gvir, who came to the shul once to hear drasha. I mean, it's not part of our neighborhood. He came to hear the, and he came over to me after, and he said, how do you daven in the shul? I said, what's wrong? He said, it's so beautiful, so distracting. So, you know, you have to weigh that too. A beautiful might not be perfect. You know, it might be so ornate the person's looking all around rather than concentrating on the tefillah. Fine. Everyone has to... Okay. Yeah, the chayre, it does. The Gemara says you have to have a lavlan, a nicer lavlan, a nicer pen, a nicer... Yeah, the chayre, it goes in the physical realm, of course. I'll give you another story. This is a true story. It happened in the end of the 1800s. There's a whole sefer called Pre-Eitz Hadar, which is a collection of tshuvis that were written by the Gedolei Olam of the time. Like the top 20 Gedolei Olam of the time weighed in on the shayla. And the shayla was like this. At that time, you could buy an esrik from the Yishuv, from the Eretz Yisrael, but it wasn't so nice. Or you could buy an esrik from Morocco, which was a nicer esrik. Morocco is Arab fields, whereas Eretz Yisrael were Yiddish fields. And the shayla was, do I buy the esrik from the Yishuv, from the Eretz Yisrael, the Kesragim, or do I buy an esrik from the Moroccan? I'm not weighing in whether Moroccan esrik is an esrik or a lemon, I'm not going there. But it just, this was the shayla of the time, do you buy an esrik from the Yishuv, or do you buy an esrik from a Moroccan esrik? Good? And a number of the Gedolim weighed in on the shayla, and some wanted to suggest you have a mitzvah of exacta boy, and therefore you have to buy by the Eretz Yisrael to Kesragim. And others said, not like that. There's a tshuva from Nimra Yosha. Nimra Yosha said, you don't have to buy the esrik from Eretz Yisrael because the Moroccan esrik is a nicer esrik. Since it's a nicer esrik, and I can't get this esrik from Eretz Yisrael, and I'm makbid to have a Shena esrik, a pre-Eitz Hadar, Memele, this esrik is unique that I can't get by a yid, and therefore I have a right to use a goy because I can't get this esrik by a yid. Which it's the exact same thing. Yeah, again, could be for the other Gedolim, wasn't as important to have such a nice esrik. Everyone has to weigh for themselves. Is it something that I need? I don't want that other item? Or no, it's just like a nice add-on, a nice perk, and how important is that perk to me?
You're bringing an example that the mitzvah is to pick the nicest one, but it's not. Is there a mitzvah? You're saying the mitzvah
picked
a nice shul or the nice.
The mitzvah on Pri Etz Hodah, by the way, is just a description of what type of fruit we're talking about. So we're talking about an esrog. The mitzvah to make and buy whatever nice esrog is, of course, the regular mitzvah of hiddur. On all mitzvahs, you have a mitzvah of hiddur, shlish, whatever that is. So that's, it's not a new mitzvah of Pri Etz Hodah on the other. Pri Etz Hodah is just a definition of what fruit we're referring to. We're referring to an esrog. That's Pasha Pshat. Okay, I know you could say, why did Torah call it like that? It's to Mimramis, I got it. But the Pri Etz Hodah to teach you, you need an esrog. And how come you need a nice esrog? That's because of Zakei Levan Veil. That's how it goes. Good? That's how, all right. Oh, okay, good. I was going to skip that one, but okay, once you did it, we'll talk about it.
Now we're going to get into it.
Has intrinsic hiddur, looks nice, or the normal hiddur one is the one that you should use?
So the hiddur and the esrog is also whatever you say hiddur. You know, chassidim hold hiddur means it's nice, and the litvish hold hiddur means it's miyukas. It's whatever you feel is hiddur. That's what you should be doing, right? Okay, so the Hasidim and Vada Litvish have the same machlek as when getting married. You know that, just the other way around. You know what I'm saying?
How is that?
The Hasidim hold he's supposed to marry a Muchasdika girl and have a nice esrog. And the Litvish hold he's supposed to. Okay. Yeah, we'll let you think about that one. Okay, good. Fine. So. Yeah. Okay, so let's go back. Let's go back to your shaila about a fryid.
Before the rub goes into that, can the rub also add in weighing a yid to a ger taisha and a religious yid, non-religious yid, also to a ger taisha?
Fine. So we can talk about ger taisha, but the thing is, the ger taisha is not negeir today. So because we don't have a ger taisha today, it's not negeir in a practical sense. It's not. We could talk about it conceptually, but let's talk about practical. Have a choice of a frum yid versus a fry yid, or a fry yid versus a goy, and let's weigh these variables. And it's like this: someone who's fry, but he's a tinnik shenishma, which is probably most of the fry people in America today. So they have a din still as a full fledged yid. They're a chicha. You have to love them just like you love anyone else, any other yid. And therefore, they're entitled to the same rights to every other yid. So therefore, if you have a choice of buying by a fraya yid, who's a tinnik shenishba, or a goy, you have to patronize a fraya yid over a goy, again, if he's a tinnik shenishba. Now, to add on that extra pasuk of the Ramah to teach you, even if it's a different in price, that's not so poshut. Bishlam, if it's the same price, yes, you have to patronize the frayid over a goy. If it's a different price and it's going to cost you more to buy by the frayid, or it's going to cost you more to hire a frayid to work for you over a goy, so then that's not so poshut. And I'll explain why. It's totally on how do you teach the pasuk. See, we know that someone who's a tinnik shenishba is considered a chicha. But whether it's considered amisecha, Amisecha is a stronger terminology because Chazal dash and above a metzia, Amisecha am sheitcha b'teira uve mitzvahs. So someone who's fry, he's a chicha, he's a yid, but if he's not a practicing yid, so then he might not be considered am sheitcha b'teira uve mitzvahs. And Memelai might not have that extra chiyav of paying more. Because that miyara misecha I might not have by frayid. Yeshevet Alevi Namzon that you have a misecha even if he's fry. Okay, that's talking about I know, but the same lundis. So then you would have to pay more. Others say not like that. So it's not poshut that by a frayid you have the chiyuv to patronize him even if it costs you. If all's equal, yes. But if it costs you more, that could be a machloikas. Now, between a frum yid and a fry yid, then of course you should patronize the frum yid over the fry yid, because the frum yid you for sure have amisecha, and the fry yid it's debatable. So if that would be the case, then you should patronize the frum yid over the fry yid. One more.
Category that's not a fry yid because not a tinnik shalishba, but
Oh, so we'll get to it. One second, we'll get to where I'm headed. But what happens if you have somebody who's a mummer? That means he went off to Derek and he had a Jewish education. He had elementary school Jewish education, and then he went off to Derek. So then he has the din of a mummer. And if it's a din of a mummer, so then actually, interesting, if he's a mummer, not only don't you patronize him over the guy, but actually you patronize the guy over the mummer. So Memela, in that case, if you know that he went off, so then you would patronize the guy over here. Not if it's a difference in price, because we don't have any extra buzz for that. But if all's equal, then actually you have to give precedence to the guy over the mummer. But I want to share with you a fascinating piece of history, and that is that going back about 100 years ago...
I was young then.
You were young then. Yeah, okay, good. Okay, I'm a different Gilgal, maybe I was. But in going back 100 years ago, so there was Eretz Yisrael, there was the, I think it was called Histadrut, I forgot the name, I don't know, but some will call it Friar Party in Eretz Yisrael, and they had farms, and they were selling produce. And the question was, do we patronize their produce or not? Do we buy from them or not? And there were boycotts going on. It was a big tumult in the Jewish world at the time. And Rabbi Chanan wrote a public letter, printed. He wrote a public letter claiming that this whole thing is nonsense and we shouldn't patronize them because they're all mumarim. They all came from the families in Europe and they all went there to Israel and Tzionim and they're all mumarim and we should not be patronizing them. And the Chazon Ish and Rabbi Chanan's brother-in-law, Rabbi Chaim Oizer Grudzinski, argued vehemently with Rabbi Chanan and held that you have to patronize them. Wow. And why? Rabbi Chanan is right. If they're mumarim, you don't. And the Chazon Ish came up with this svara. Watch a Chazon Ish svara. It's amazing. You have to be a Chazon Ish for this. Chazon Ish said, it's called, by the way, this made such a turmoil in at the time. And it was going back and forth, the different gedolim taking sides. But the Chazon Ish said the following svara. He said, it is true that they are mumarim. But they have families. Are their children mumarim?
No.
Their children are growing up in a household devoid of Torah and mitzvahs. The children are A, ketanim, and B, tinoike shenishbu. If we don't support this yeshiva, if we don't support them, they could starve to death. They could go under. What gives you the right to deprive their children from parnasa? You could deprive them from Parnassah, but how could you deprive their children from Parnassah? Their children are Yidden. Their children are Mumarim. And for this svar, the Chazon Ish argued Rabbi Chanan, came out publicly to argue Rabbi Chanan, and he said, no, you should support the Yishuv in their produce. It's a fascinating grada. Later on, recently, I found a Beis Meir and Evin Ezer that quotes a tshuva from Rabbi Kiva Eger. We don't have that tshuva. It's not printed, unfortunately. But Rabbi Kiva Eger writes to the Beis Meir about a different topic, but also the concept of a mumma. And Rabbi Kiva Eger says the exact same svara, that even though they are mumarim, but their children are not. So this svara, Chazon Ish, was mechaven to Rabbi Kiva Eger, and based on that, he held that, yes, you still have to support them. So even though a mumma you don't, but it's not so pashut. If he has kids, and they're poor, and the kids are going to suffer because of that, so you might still have to patronize the mummer.
Is there any in between a from and another from person? Meaning,
Pashtus,
someone who has a bigger mishpacha, or someone who's not as well to do, or something.
Yeah, so if he's an ani, so of course, then you have a greater union to support them, exacta by over the next yid who's not an ani. But larger mishpachas lav davka play a role. There could be other things that play a role. Talmud Chacham plays a role. Watch this: a kohen and a levi plays a role. If you could buy by a kohen and buy by someone who's not a kohen, you buy by the kohen. And because I'm a negev b'davar, so you have different levels. But pashas, what we're talking about here now is yid versus goy. So. Okay, but if you know, a lot of people come to the shir and hear the shir, so we're going to have a problem here.
Probably one of the biggest expenses that are that people spend in this neighborhood is for contractors. Now, there's a lot of factors. One is price, but the other, maybe a bigger factor, is reputation of a Jew over a Gentile. What's your position on that?
So I can't speak for the reputation of the contractors here. I'm not aware of them. But I could just say in general, if reputation is meaningful to you, it's like having that warranty or that 30-day money-back guarantee. If it's meaningful to you and you can't go with the other, the Yid, and you're making an assumption the Yid doesn't have as good a reputation. I don't subscribe to that. But if that would be the case and it's meaningful to you, so that would give you the right perhaps to use the guy. If not, not. You know, if it's just like, oh, Grada, he had three stories and he had only two stories, or all the Geisha mess-ups you don't hear about because it was done in Geisha homes, doesn't mean that he has a better reputation, you just didn't hear about it. So then you have to be really honest with you, is it really true or not? But if we could establish, yes, that the guy does a better job than Echanami, that might give you a right, maybe.
So a lot of people, time is worth money and convenience. There's a lot of apps out there. Groceries than if I go to the grocery store sometimes. But it's convenient. I can have my groceries delivered at 7 o'clock in the morning and 7 o'clock at night. There's one required now to say, you know what?
Okay, so yeah, so like Rabbi Blazer just said, you're talking about Tirka. So this Shaila went to the Maram Sheik. He didn't have Instacart in those days, but he had Tircha. And the Shaila was, am I matriach myself more to go to the Yid or not? And that was the Shaila. The Shaila is the Maram Sheik, that Shaila. And Maram Sheik blasts the Shaila for that Shaila. And he says, since when do we reckon with Tircha when it comes to mitzvahs? Do we worry about the tirk when it comes to dalaminim, when it comes to shoifa, when it comes to anything else? So here's a mitzvah, we're worried about tirkha. That's how the Maram Sheik says it, very strong. But I would agree with you to some degree, and that is that let's try to quantify this. How much would I pay for this service? How much is it worth it to me? So if it's worth it to me a little bit, so then it's only hefse muwet, so I have to do that tirkha. If it's worth it to me a lot, because I get paid $1,000 an hour, and Mamela, I can't be busy with this petty stuff. So if that's the case, then it's a hefsid meruba, perhaps. I know we're gedan. If I'm $1,000 an hour, maybe it's not a hefsid meruba. But if it's a hefsid meruba, so then if that would be the case, then I have a right to go by the guy. And I'm going to say even more. I'm going to say slight another variable. I hold, I don't have a right to this, but libi oimali, that if it's something that it's not the norm to be matriach for that item. And I really have to preface with a different kula and we'll get there. One second, let me go to another kula. Another kula is like this. What happens if it's 1 o'clock in the morning and your child needs medicine? I don't know what. You need diapers. Every single Yiddish store is closed at 1 o'clock in the morning. Baruch Hashem, they have to learn, get up in the morning and daven and learn. But you could have, I don't know what's going on over here, but CVS is, you have stores that by us, we have 24/7 stores, no problem. So I go to the store in the middle of the night and I buy that baby nipple, I buy whatever I need to, because I need it now. So are you going to tell me I'm now allowed to buy it now because I'm supposed to be buying by Yid? Or do we say, well, if I need it right now and I don't have that option right now to buy by Yid, then I have a right to buy by a goy. So there's a Rabbeinu Hillel, that's mashma, that the only time you have to patronize a Yid over a guy is because you have the choice in front of you. You have a Yid and a guy. But if you don't have it by the Yid, because right now he's closed, and I need it now, so then I have a right to buy by a guy. Now, it doesn't mean that in the afternoon I could have bought by the Yid, but I want to wait till the night, till the Yid closes the store, and then buy by a guy. Now, that I'm not saying. I'm saying that if you now realize that you need the item now, and you can't buy it by the Yid, then you have a right to buy by a guy, because it's not Shneihem Lefanecha, because the two options are not in front of you. So I want to suggest the same thing. If, let's just say, you have to buy a box of Cheerios, and the only place you can get Cheerios is in Aventura, and from a Yid. And over here, I'm just obviously making up a story that doesn't exist. But just let's say, and over here, the stores don't sell Cheerios. They don't sell it. For some reason, they sell the other brands. And your kids like Cheerios, you want Cheerios, and you can't get it here. And the bottom line is, the only way you can get it is by going to a Yiddish store in Aventura or buying by a Goyish store over here. So I hold that, look, I don't even know how far Aventura is from here, but I'm assuming that it's not close. I'm like in a whirlwind of where everything is. But let's just say it's something that's unheard of. No one schleps that distance to buy a box of Cheerios. For that, I know if I buy a car, I understand, I'll schlep a half hour. But if I have to buy a box of Cheerios, I don't schlep. So if that's the case, so you can't tell me, oh, but who cares about Techa, go schlep. It's like Shneim is Einim Lefanecha. What's in front of me is only the Goyish store. The fact that there's a Yiddish store in Miami Beach, no, that's not in front of me. I live here in North Miami. That's not in front of me. If it's something that I normally or people do schlep for, good, and then that means Shneim Lefanecha. But if it's something that people don't schlep for, then that's Shneim is Einim Lefanecha, and that would give you a right. Good.
Well, yeah, a question I have is, is it possible to consider using a goy as a middleman between a yid and a yid? For example, I could go to Amazon and get a cheap rate on a whole shas of Gemara.
You can?
Go to Amazon, I can buy a whole shas.
You can buy shas on Amazon? Okay, good.
Saying the yid is the one selling it.
Who's selling it by Amazon? It has to be a yid. Is goyim selling shas on Amazon?
Not
yeah. So well, what's your question? You want to know, do you go directly? By the way, by Amazon, they have two different...
I want to get a whole shot, a whole complete shot, and I think a goy is obviously selling it, but it's through Amazon.
Oh, yeah? A goy is selling it? Okay,
you say
look.
Amazon is a goy, or the company is the goy that's selling it. Amazon is selling the inventory, right?
If the yid is selling it on Amazon, so the way it works, you know, they have two different ways, but then it's the yid who's really selling it, just Amazon takes a cut. There are different ways how they do it, right?
Amazon's a public company, yid's a public company.
But, you know, we could do it, but you have, I'll give you a similar story, watch this, is I could go by to, I know again, I don't know what's going on here, but I go to my gas station, a Goyish Exxon station that's selling Chol of Yisrael milk, or I could go to a Yiddish store that's selling, I don't know, let's say Chol of Sam, I don't know how Chol of Sam versus Chol of Yisrael, but saying, let's say cheese, I can go to Pride of the Farm Ice Cream, I could go to a Goyish store and buy a Jewish product, or I could go to a Yiddish store and buy a Goyish product. I could go oranges. I have two choices, Pride of the Farm or Golden Flow oranges, or I could get Tropicana oranges. I could go to a Yiddish store and buy Tropicana, or go to a Goyish store and buy the Jewish oranges. Do I have exactly if really the person I'm buying from is a goy, but he's selling a Jewish product? And that's a tumult amongst the boys. It really talks about that Shiloh, about pre-Eitz Hodo. There they talk about, because a lot of the middlemen were goyim or yidden, and they discussed, do I go bust of the end product where it was, you know, manufactured and grown, or do I go bust of the middlemen? I don't want to go down there because it's not clear. Okay, rabbis, I...
Just going back, you're Shiloh. So what? Let's say your case. You wake up at whatever it is, 1 o'clock or whatever. The Jewish store is closed, and the Goyish store is open, right? So I go. It's now 10 o'clock at night, and I go to Publix or whatever to buy my diapers. But now I'm here in Publix, and I also need 5 other things. So can I buy my Cheerios, which I can't? Or am I
okay, I didn't say that, but I wrote it in the sefer. Laniz daiti. I want to suggest that once you're there beheta, then you would have a right to shop the other stuff as well. You don't have a right to this, but libo imeli that when you're at home, you have two choices in front of you. When you're in the store, you only have really one choice in front of you, the store that you're in. So if you already have a heta to be in that store, once you're there, then most likely...
So now, what about Amazon?
Sorry?
What about Amazon? So now, Amazon is always in my house.
Yeah.
But that's the Lefanecha. Why is that different?
I don't know. I'm not sure if it should be always in your house, but okay. I'm not speaking to that piece. But yeah, no, that I'm not so comfortable with. I only come to it because you already expended that terechi. You're in the store already, so now you're there. The fact that you're, I don't know, and the Jewish stores they're not on by us. The Jewish stores are also on the phone, and you could order. My wife does all her shopping on the phone. She without the internet, whatever. I mean, you have a closed the way we have by our phones, a closed internet, so you can't get onto the internet. But you have certain apps from the Frum stores, and on those stores, you could. My wife does all the shopping, the Frum stores groceries on her phone. She doesn't go into the store, and economy. But I don't know if I can't speak for Florida. I don't know what's going on over here. All right.
And you have to check every week the prices to see if it's a Hasbro or Hasbro.
No, you don't have to make yourself crazy, but it's not going to be so fluctuating between Muda and Meruba, because we're not so clear what Muda and Meruba means altogether. So a little fluctuation is not going
to
do it. I doubt it. So you tell me how much more?
It depends on every week. It's different.
Every week it changes the price? And you know every week the difference between Brazilian and Goy? So you have to find out what is it generally, how much cheaper is it, and let's decide if that's considered Hefsa Meruba and Hefsa Mu'ed for you or not. So we don't. I don't have a right to that. I cleared that child in the sefer. If you count the entire year's worth, you only count to one. Actually, recently, Lacha Yifta was printed. I found out Rav Steinman on Chumash who clears the same shaila. But I don't. There's no right either way. Yeah, we're okay. Let's try to figure out. The only thing, let me take it because he's the aider. He put it in first, but everyone else is hacking in.
Not that this is the Q&A session, but I want to go back to Rav Shmuel Brassa about reputation, not specific to contractors, but this is one of the reasons I actually wanted to come, to be able to ask this shy.
What business are you in?
Since the not. The Rav speaking. So the door was opened about reputation. I wouldn't say reputation, but let's say, not me, let's say I'm a dentist. Just because Dr. is sitting in front of me. So that you're a dentist, you're buying supplies from a yid. And he does something wrong. Makes you lose money, doesn't follow up, it's a problem. So then you switch to a guy. And then you do supplies from another yid. Same thing happens, unfortunately. I don't know. Maybe the Rav never experienced this. Some people have. And you get a feeling that, you know, it's more of a tircha, not even a tircha, it's a pain, it's a loss, to continue giving yidden chances. How much does a yid have to continue doing it before
I don't think
Yitzhahara says, not doing business, you know.
Yeah, I don't think you can ever assume, just because two people made a mistake, then assume that the third one's going to follow with the same mistake. I don't think they have the right to do that. Every person deserves his chance, and just because they made a mistake doesn't mean the next one's going to. Maybe the next one is more capable, more technical, and more organized, and I don't think that is a license. Okay.
You and the Jew both are from Jews. Any difference?
Both are from, so we discussed. It's only if maybe one's more of an Ani, or if one's a Talmud Chacham, or one's a Kain. We discussed, you know.
I live in an area, let's say, there's three stores, three Jewish stores.
Great.
That store is much cheaper than these two stores.
Ah, where do you say that could be a different sugya of lashon hara? That might be something else. Chavetz Chaim actually talks about that. Chavetz Chaim holds you're not allowed to tell somebody else. It's a chiddush of Chavetz Chaim. Chavetz Chaim says you're not allowed to tell someone else unless the person is being over and you know. That's Chavetz Chaim. I don't understand the Chavetz Chaim, but that's what he says, that you're not allowed to tell it to a friend unless that person is overcharging over the market price. And it's not working anymore. You don't hear me? No. Where's your Achimiel? I guess he's sending me a message. I better stop. Okay, so the shir. So let me just end off the shir. Let me just end off with Dvar Machshava. And that is like this. We landed in Kehelis. We just landed in over Sukkis. Isha Shayitin lo Elokim. Oishiv v'nuchasim v'chavayit. V'inenu chasal l'nafshoy m'kol eshay yisavah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who gave to a person wealth, assets, covet, he's not lacking anything he could possibly desire. So that's the ratio of the pasuk. And then the pasuk continues, V'lo yashlitenu elokim lechum amenu, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't allow him to have shlita over the gifts that he was given. He wasn't allowed to eat and derive benefit from all of what he was given. Ki ish nochri yechlenu, because a foreigner will eat from it. Zehevel, it's a folly. V'chali rohu, and it's a sickness. So the obvious kash is that the reish and the sefer of the pasuk don't stem. The zori is the kash. Rashi, we just started off with saying he has everything he could possibly want. He's not lacking anything. Mikol lecha yisave. And then the end of the pasuk says, but he was not given shlita to derive pleasure from what he was given. So did he derive pleasure or didn't he derive pleasure? The beginning of the pasuk says he was not lacking anything. So it sounds like he enjoyed all that wealth. And then the end of the pasuk says, b'leish leitenu lakim, he didn't have shlita over his money. What is going on? So I want to suggest that the pasuk is referring to the topic that we are referring to today. The Gemara Baba Basra says that if someone wants to have shlita over something, shlita over his money, you only have shlita on something that you give to tzedakah. Something that you gift to tzedakah, that's the only thing you have shlita on. Because all of the other assets that you derive pleasure in this world, those assets are transient. You got it, you derive pleasure, and it's gone. So you don't control it anymore. But the asset that you give away is yours for life. That asset that you give away to tzedakah is yours forever, lo mi'ad. I'll share with you a story from the Kapishnitz Rebbe. The Kapishnitz Rebbe, once a nani came to him and was telling the Rebbe that he has no hat. He has no hat to wear. So Kapishnitz Rebbe felt bad for this person. He went into his room, he took out his Shabbos hat, and he gave his Shabbos hat to this nani. And he left. Ani was very ecstatic, good, Baruch Hashem, he has a beautiful hat. The family was upset at the Rebbe and told the Rebbe, okay, I understand the Rebbe wants to help this Ani, and I understand you want to give away a hat. You had to give away your Shabbos hat? Give away your weekday hat. Give him the weekday hat. What do you have to give the Shabbos hat for? So the Kvishu Rebbe said the following. He said, why would you rather me give away my weekday hat? Because you want me to benefit from my Shabbos hat. So the commissioner said, that's the exact reason why I gave away my Shabbos hat. He said, because l'asad lavai, what's the clothing that I'm going to wear? I'm going to be wearing the clothing I gave away. And I want to wear l'asad lavai, I want to look nice in front of the Rebbein Shalom. I want to wear the Shabbos hat. So if I dafke gave away my Shabbos hat, so I should be able to use my Shabbos hat lo mi'ad. The money that you give away to tzedakah, that's what you have shlit on. That's the Gemara Baba Basra. So the pasuk is saying that this person was given all the oishin nechas and the kavod that he could possibly want, and he's not lacking any of his desires, but he didn't have any shlita on his money. You know why he didn't have shlita? Because his whole life he's wheeling and dealing with goyim. Ki ish nochri yoichelenu. Because who are you benefiting in your business? Who are you hiring? You're hiring goyim, and which service provider, and which plumber, and which handyman, and which contractor, which doctor, and which dentist, and who are you dealing with? Which cleaners? Everything, you were dealing with goyim. So your entire life, you were dealing with goyim. So you never had any shlita over your possessions. But if a yid deals with other yidin, then he has shlita over his possessions. But if you squander those opportunities, we have thousands of opportunities over a lifetime to deal with a yid versus a goy. And every time we squander an opportunity, we're lacking the shlita. It's ish nochri yechalenu. And that Shlomo HaMelech, Chacham Mikol Adam, says it's a hevel. It's foolishness. You had those opportunities and you wasted them. It's a chali ro. It's a sickness. You're hooked up on, saving that extra dollar. It's a sickness. You could have made it. You could have helped out another yid. And that has a ripple effect in the community. He can now pay his tuitions. So now the school won't come to you for another donation. So you actually can make out more money at the end. You could gain. If everyone could support and make it, so then it will ease up the burden of the whole community. And that is a hev of a chali rohu. You're looking at your dalit ames and you're not looking past your dalit ames. You don't realize what you could gain. Even for yourself, you could gain oylam habel and netzach netzachim. You could have a shlita on your money if you deal with yidden. And I want to end off with this. It's not just a shlita and loss of lavoi, but it actually helps you in this world too. The pasuk says, "V'exaktavoy." In that pasuk of "V'exaktavoy," there's a fascinating sifsei koin on the Torah. He lived like 500 years ago, and he says like this: the Pasuk says, "Exact a boy, support another yid, ger v'toishav imach, a ger or a toishav with you, v'chai imach, and live together with him, v'chai imach, and he'll live with you." So the Sifrei Kohen wants to know, why do we need an extra word imach for? What would be wrong if the Pasuk stopped before that imach? We erase that imach in the Pasuk. V'exact a boy, ger v'toishav imach, v'chai. What do you mean v'chai imach for? What do you need to be a v'chai imach? What's the point? Zot Sifrei Kohen is because the Medrash says by Rus, Yoisim imash ha-balabais oisim ha-ani, ha-ani oisim ha-balabais. The ani benefits the balabais more than the balabais who gives tzedakah benefits the ani. Because the ani is only getting that dollar for food and got lunch. But the balabais now has a shlit on his money forever. He has that gevaldika that he gave tzedakah. So the ani was doing more with the balabais than the balabais was doing with the ani. And Dr. Sifrei Kohen is that we all know that wealth is a galgal achoyza, it's a wheel of fortune. Some people are on top, and chulila v'chas, they could lose their money later on. I'm sure we all know many of those type of people, lo leino. And if it's not for them, it's their children. And if it's not their children, it's their grandchildren. It's a galgal achoyza. We don't find darius and darius of wealthy people. That's how it goes. It's a galgal achoyza ba'ilam. But Zakta Sifrei Kohen, what stops from the wheel from turning? Right now you're on top of that wheel. What stops from the wheel turning and finding yourself chalil on the bottom of that wheel? What could keep the wheel in place that you're going to be on top? Exactly, Sifrei Kohen says, that's what the Pasuk is teaching. If you grab on to the Yidden, you hold them up, then you're holding on to the galgal achoyza and you're preventing the wheel to go down. That's v'chai imach, with you. You are helping yourself. When you help another yid, you're helping yourself that the wheel doesn't turn. It's v'chzakta, but you're holding on to that wheel that it doesn't turn. Memela, the ani is doing more for the balabais than the balabais is doing for the ani, because the ani is making the balabais into a noisin, into a giver. And he's going to remain that giver. If he supports Yidin, he holds on to being a giver. And he holds on to that wealth. So Rabbi said, by supporting other Yiddish stores, franchises, service, whatever it is, you support other people, other Yidin, it's a vechzaktiv. And with that, you should be gebench. You should hold on to that wheel. You should always be min anoisim and never min anoitlim. Shkoyik for listening, Rabbi said.